Welcome to Church with Dad, the podcast that celebrates the ministry of a father whose life was drastically altered with a diagnosis of early onset dementia. Unaltered are his timeless words, spreading the good news of faith, hope, and unfailing love, the things that are unchangeable, which will one day make all things new. In our fourth episode, the sermon and gospel texts are taken from Luke, the fourth chapter. It was originally recorded on February 3rd, 2013.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus began to say to all in the synagogue in Nazareth, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we heard you have done at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of a hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, let's rewind the DVR back a week to Jesus in the synagogue. We hear, like it was yesterday, the same words that ended last week's gospel. No one has left the synagogue. The people of the town have just spoken well of Jesus, complimenting him on his gracious words. But when they began to try to identify Jesus by saying or asking even, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" When they begin to question these things, something happens. It's like somebody threw a collective switch in the gathered worshipers there in the synagogue. And it's a shocking change. In fact, it is a revelation. Not a revelation concerning Jesus, but concerning the people in the synagogue. What is revealed about them is that they carry and brought to that worship a set of expectations about Jesus that turn out to be completely at variance with the mighty acts and words that Jesus just spoke in their midst. And frankly, they're kind of rocked back on their heels, I think, particularly when he mentions that he is the fulfillment of the scriptures, but even worse, when he begins to talk about the differences between what their expectations told them he should be and who Jesus really is. And so I think Jesus is responding here in a way where he's almost sort of challenging the people again. Because he hears these words from them and says, seems to know that they're saying they want him to perform another healing. They want, maybe we'll be lucky and get a miracle to prove the truth of who Jesus is. They want to see a show like the folks in Capernaum got. And you get the sense there's almost sort of like a town rivalry going on. On the other hand, they also do seem to want to prove who Jesus is. And they want the proof to be the same thing as their expectations. You'd almost think they were in Missouri. Show yourself, Jesus. Cure yourself if you're really who you say you are. These questions, these doubts, if you will, about who Jesus says he is, echo down through the rest of Jesus' ministry. But as we heard last week, this is Luke's telling of the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And what does that beginning look like today? Last week we ended on kind of an up note. This week, not so much. What do we see? We see resistance to who he really is. We see disbelief that he is who he says he is. There's suppressed anger, rage, and eventually taking action in terms of banishing him from the town, shunning him, and eventually, up on a hilltop, attempting to throw him down to a violent death, not lifting him up. There are interesting similarities between the expectations of Jesus' friends and neighbors in Nazareth and the devil that Jesus had just beaten in the wilderness. Both the folks in Nazareth and the devils end up, whether they intend it or not, certainly at least in the case of the Nazareans, they're trying to derail Jesus' ministry before it begins. They're trying to twist and tempt him by twisting the truth of what the Father has given the Son to carry out. Oh, it couldn't be that. Both the devil and the Nazareans try to get Jesus to fall to his death from a high place and in the process renounce his Father in heaven. This is what it's all about. This is misdirection. This is temptation. This is how you derail the ministry. Or so the devil thought, and without success, but the Nazareans seem to be given that their shot here too. Verse 30, the last verses of this text this morning, really get to me. They're so simple. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. In a sense, this is a little revelation about who Jesus is and what he's about. In other words, Jesus simply and quietly moves forward in ministry, almost in stealth fashion, because he makes it through the crowd without them even knowing it. But he continues to remain focused on the ministry that has been given him, that is just beginning, and he will not let it be throttled in the cradle. He simply and quietly moves forward with that ministry. And the ironic thing is that, in a sense, the people of Nazareth got what they wanted. A miracle. Right? He walks through the crowd and nobody sees him. It's a miracle. And they don't even get it. Because what Jesus gave them during his time with them was this: a peek at the kingdom of God. The Son of God in their midst, sitting next to them in the synagogue, speaking words of grace and truth. The promise that the words of the prophets would be fulfilled. The good folks of Nazareth missed it all. Missed it all. It's kind of like when we play pickup ball games out in the park. We always try and sort of psych the batter if it wasn't on your team when you weren't up. So you'd start going, hey, batter, 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 swing, batter, even though he's not supposed to swing, right? And usually what happened was it was whew, a big whiff. Missed it completely. It's just ball sitting there in the catcher's glove, and the batter never knew what came by him. A lot like Nazareth. The events in Nazareth happened quickly. Time sort of got compressed here. If you think about it, a lot's gone on in these Gospels the last couple of weeks. But what about us? We've had years, decades, to hear the Scriptures, to see and believe the Gospel. Every Sunday we've had an opportunity, and many other times as well, to recognize Jesus' ministry in our lives and our call to be a part of that ministry, to live lives of discipleship and faith and love of God and neighbor through participation in the ministry that Jesus began that day in Nazareth. It's like what Paul was trying to get through to the Corinthians, those stubborn Greeks, to invite them to begin to be part of the ministry, not just with their mouth, but with their hearts and with their hands. And this was not an easy sale for Paul. It reminded me of when my grandfather would come back from Greece to visit. If he decided he was going to be teasing us, he'd figure out something to do. And then he would always say, when we're starting to express frustration, say, oh, Grandpa, that's really lame. Go, blah, blah, blah. He'd say, I know where your goat is tied. Meaning he could always get a rise out of us. He knew it. And why? Because he knew where our goat was tied. And growing up where he did in the mountains of Greece, it was all goats up there, no Holsteins, unless they could walk on a 60-degree grade. No, sir. He knew where our goat was tied. And I think Jesus today knows where the Nazarene's goat is tied too. And he knows that we have to get past that. We have to recognize that in that place where we can get angry, where we can get enraged, where we can, in a matter of mere moments, turn our personality, that's where our goat is tied. And that is the danger to a ministry. The takeaway for me from this story, as Paul is trying to show us, he's kind of showing us the flip side in this sort of beautiful poem to love and its meaning in life. You know, it's probably the most common text used in weddings, right? When have you been to a wedding when you haven't had love is not out of, love is not out of, love, you know? And believe me, I've seen a lot of them too. And I'm standing right up there while the reader's going and I'm watching the faces of the couples. And you know what I see going on all too often? Not all the time, but a lot of the time, is that text is being read to them. Swing, batter, 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 swing! And they miss everything. They whiff on these great words of Paul, these truthful words, especially the last ones. All of the love language in this text ends at verse 8. The most important words follow. These words of Paul's speak of and proclaim the truth that our vision is poor. Our knowledge, what we think we know, is a rag bag of the world's fads and follies. We don't even really know where our goat is tied, do we? We don't, but Jesus does. And that's the sad irony of the story of Jesus in Nazareth. He knew those people more fully than they knew themselves. He knew them more fully than they thought they knew him. And yet he knew and loved them and us, even as they were trying to shove him off a cliff. Or in our case, even as we were lifting him up onto a cross. We have a lot more in common with the folks of Nazareth than we like to admit. But the effect, the impact of this is not just to say, well, we're sort of good and we're sort of bad. And the impact, the meaning, the importance here is don't let this derail the ministry of this place, this congregation, this people, this body of Christ. Stay focused. Watch the seams on the ball as it's coming into the catcher, into the hitting zone. Pay attention, focus. Do not be distracted by the things of this world. Stay with Paul and his faith, hope, and love, and let them abide in this place, these three, so that you and I can continue the ministry that Jesus began and has been calling us to all our lives. Amen.